Isn't it crazy it's September 15th today? It's the middle of September. It's like summer was so yesterday. And I want to tell you this, it is 100 sleeps until Christmas. So if you weren't transitioned yet, maybe after today, if anything, you're just like, yep, now it's fall and now we're moving towards Christmas. So good to have you here this morning. If you were here last week or not, want to let you know, we started last week in an 8-week series, and it's called First Love, Capturing a Vision for Why We Follow Jesus. Capturing a vision for why we follow Jesus. Well, by the way, Michelle's walking around with some blankets because it is a little brisk in here this morning. So she's cold and she thinks everybody else is cold, so she's just asking if anyone wants a blanket, you're more than welcome. There's some at the back there. She's not selling them, by the way. They're free. They're free. It's our little money-making thing on the side. So here's the heart behind this series. Is yes, we want to encourage people to pray. Yes, we want to encourage people to serve. Yes, we want to encourage people to give generously and do things that Christ, we believe, has called us to. But let's just kind of like stop for a moment. And let's understand, we don't put the cart before the horse, as the saying goes. The big picture of this whole series is this, is that God loves us. God loves us. You may not even necessarily believe that there's a God who loves us. You may be here this morning and you're struggling with that, or maybe that he wouldn't love you. But the big picture out of this whole thing, out of these 8 weeks, is that God loves us more than we will ever understand. We sung about that earlier. An old preacher, fiery preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon, said 140 years ago, with all the muster that he could have, he said, "Believe me, if you have but a spark of desire after Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you." This is our big picture. This is what we want to understand. But let's understand this. So first of all, God loves us. Our response to that love is to love God in return with whatever amount of love that we feel like we can give, but it's to kind of turn away from ourselves and we turn to God and respond to that. And then from everything else, we start walking in the Christian life and the Christian faith stemming from those two things, is that God loves us and that we have a chance to respond to that love, not out of duty, not out of compulsion or guilt, but because I get to respond to this love and go, I want to just do something in my Christian faith and to follow Jesus. Last week I asked this question, is that for those of you, for those who at some point have loved Jesus deeply, and we know this, do you remember that feeling? Do you remember that feeling? Maybe for some of us, we've attended a summer camp where God, you know, the love of God was shared. And maybe it involved a campfire, it often does. But we stand there and we just kind of just go like, oh my goodness, like God is real. God loves me deeply. And I love him in return. And maybe it's an emotional experience because God has wired us to be emotional. Maybe it's a time when you've just sensed and known the presence of God through nature, through a hike, through camping, through whatever, but you've seen and tasted the presence of God through his creation. Maybe you're more of a music person and you love listening to music because in some of it, you just feel God is speaking directly to you. Or maybe even that you've been inspired through your faith because of a friend or loved one and their faith that they have in God. But maybe for some of us here, we can say, I can think back to those times, but if you were to ask me right now, what are adjectives I would use to describe my following Jesus or my Christian faith? To be honest, we might use words such as dry, empty, cold, or just distant. For some reason, I don't feel what I did before, and I know that I'm certainly not there. And maybe my faith has been just simply in my head, but not in my heart. Our love has faded over time. Well, a few years ago, Starbucks as a company invited their employees on a message board to write in about the first time they experienced the love of coffee. And so, it's, you know, some of them were saying it was when I had this blend or when I came and tried out this, whatever. So there's all these unique stories that people shared about their first experience with their love of, with love of coffee. This is what one very enthusiastic employee wrote. I remember being in the original Starbucks store when there was only one. Now remember, this was a time when most people thought coffee came from a can, not a bean. The counterman scooped up some Sumatra coffee beans, ground them, put the grounds in a filter in a cone, and poured hot water over them. Some of you, if you just want to go get more coffee now, you're more than welcome to. He approached his work almost reverently, like an artisan. When he handed me a porcelain mug filled with the freshly brewed coffee, the steam and aroma seemed to envelop my entire face. I took a small sip, and my eyes shot wide open. The Starbucks people laughed and looked at me. Is it too much for you? I grinned and shook my head. I took another sip, tasting the full flavors as they ran over my tongue. I was hooked from that point on. Well, these words from none other than Howard Schultz, who soon after that first visit convinced the owner to hire him in a sales position. And from that first experience with this coffee, it comes from a bean, not a can, in 1981, he helped grow Starbucks from one store to just over 7,000 in the U.S. alone and 15,000 worldwide by 2007. Isn't that crazy? All from this first experience of a love for coffee. But as 2008 rolled around, things took a turn for the worse in Starbucks. Sales were slumping. Handcrafted espressos were replaced by the dreaded automated espresso machine. And customer experience was lagging. You could say that Starbucks had drifted far away from that first experience of love for their coffee, and it showed. They had a very clear cooling of love. And so what did Howard Schultz do? What did he do? Well, he ordered all 7,100 U.S. stores to close for 3 hours on February 26, 2008. A drastic measure. In an economic sense, they figured that it cost Starbucks $6 million in the U.S. just for closing those 3 hours. But his purpose was to retrain every single barista who worked for Starbucks on how to make the perfect espresso. Again, it cost them $6 million, but what he was hoping to do is not just know how to create a perfect espresso, but to rekindle the employees with their love for coffee. And you know what? It worked. In 2009, over the next year, the stock rose a whopping 143%. Yes, they did make some changes in the store, but more than anything, the quality of the coffee came back because the baristas had this love of coffee again. I think you know where I'm going with this. Things happen. Our love fades. It's part of us and our humanity of living. But what can we do? I think in a way of Howard Schultz just stopping, I feel like in a sense we need to just make sure we stop and we understand why we're doing what we're doing. And that if our love for Jesus has cooled in any way, that we can be rekindled again. And through this, is that today what we're going to look at is understanding that this love of Jesus, we have the opportunity of sharing it with the world around us. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to take aspects of kind of following Jesus and kind of look back at those and say, it's not just kind of what we do, but why we do it. And so we're going to start off today with this whole idea of evangelism, about sharing our love for Jesus with others. So would you join me as we pray? And so, Father, thank you that you love us deeply and unconditionally. Thank you that you know us. And I think for a lot of us, that is a scary, Scary thought. But as we want to respond to your love with love, help us to understand that we have this privilege of now sharing this with others today. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to all of us here today? Amen. Amen. Evangelism. This is not the first time we've ever talked about this, but I wonder what it does to you inside when we talk about this. Does it cause panic? I don't want to ever just have to share my faith. I'll live my faith, no problem, but I don't want to share my faith. Maybe for some of us, it's boredom. It's like, nah, I want to go do something else. Maybe for some of us today, it's kind of like a compulsion. It's like, I guess I have to if I really need to. If someone asks me, I will not deny it and I will share. But please don't ask me to be proactive in sharing my faith. Whereas some of you, I know some of you are like, yes, bring it on, brother, let's go. I'm ready to walk around my neighborhood this afternoon. I know some of you are gung-ho like that. I love it. But for the rest of us, we're maybe not necessarily as gung-ho. Are we right? If it is, just kind of give me just a little nod, not something that people can see around you, but just so that I know you're tracking with me a little bit. You're there? You feel it? Okay. Now, I want to just kind of offer a different angle of understanding evangelism, because this word evangelism actually means to share the good news. To share the good news. It's this Greek word, euangelion. And I'm in a Greek class right now. Pray for me. It's really hard learning a different language. But if I use Greek a lot now, it's just because I'm excited about like this new Greek stuff. And I'm so old and I'm still taking classes, which I love. It's great. But it's this meaning to share the good news. What if we actually frame this idea of evangelism instead of like a really negative connotation, but it's actually just introducing two things that you love or two people that you love to each other? Think about that. It's really just sharing something we love or someone we love, Jesus, and our faith, which I think means probably a lot to us, with someone who doesn't yet know what faith might mean and what following God means. Now, I just talked about Starbucks, and I could talk about Starbucks a lot because I'll admit I'm a coffee lover. I'm known as the coffee snob in the office because while they make coffee in the big machines, I have like this little AeroPress that I have, and they just think I'm a snob because I don't like the other, you know, I just call it like factory coffee. It's like whatever. But you know what I mean? Is there any coffee lovers here? You know, it's like the French press, the AeroPress, it's just a different roast. It just tastes different. Well, I'll admit, a perfect Saturday for me, a perfect Saturday is waking up fairly early, not having much to do on the to-do list. It's a quiet house, and I've got maybe my laptop or my phone or, you know, a book. I'm trying to get a book. But in these quiet hours on a Sunday morning, of course, no Saturday morning is complete without a beautiful cup of coffee. Through the AeroPress, and it might be Pike Place, it might be Komodo Dragon blend, but just put a cup of coffee there with a little bit of cream, no sugar. Sugar, bad. But just put that there, and it's just this sweet aroma, and already you start to feel alive and awake, even before tasting it. You know what I mean? It's coffee. Now, as paradise as that is, I also have four children. And I will tell you as well, children are kind of my passion. It's not quite the same as coffee. You know, maybe some days it feels like that, but it's there. But I just want to say, like, yeah, kids are my passion. My wife and I, we love our kids. We love giving experiences. We love doing things. This is just my world. Now, coffee world Jeff never interacted with dad world Jeff all the while kids were growing up. And probably right for good reason, right? You don't want to give your 8-year-old kid a cup of coffee every Saturday morning. It's kind of weird. But when my oldest daughter was in grade 11, and she's like, Dad, can I taste your coffee? I'm like, yeah, for sure you can. Just don't tell Mom. And she had coffee, and I felt like at that moment she was hooked. For better or worse, she was hooked. But I loved it. For the first time in my life, these two worlds overlapped. And I was able to introduce an affinity that I had, this beautiful love for coffee, with this love that I have for my daughter, and to share it. It was awesome. If we think about raising the stakes just a little bit here, what if we thought about sharing our faith as introducing two things or two people that we love to one another? The Bible does a very, it tells us time and again, this is such a smooth process, and it can be. And so we're going to look in the book of John today to see how beautifully this is done, because Jesus introduces himself to somebody. I think sharing our faith can be done out of joy, and I think it can be done in response to love, not in order to be loved. And so we're going to pick up this story. The book of John is one of four books in the New Testament that talk about Jesus' life. There's Matthew, there's Mark, there's Luke, and there's John. Four different accounts, all sharing even similar stories, all to do with Jesus' life. We're going to look in the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 4, we see this scene where Jesus and a lot of his followers are walking through. They walked everywhere where they went, and they're walking through this area called Samaria. Samaria was like enemy territory right in the middle of Israel. The best way that I can think about it, you know, because I don't know if Vancouver has too many like enemies per se as far as where you walk or drive, but in Alberta, you've got southern Alberta and you've got northern Alberta, and right in between that, you've got Edmonton, all right? And in order to get to northern Ontario or northern Alberta, you often have to just go through Edmonton. It's enemy territory. And so, you know, that's kind of my way of thinking is probably not right, but whatever. But you can imagine these people who followed Jesus, they didn't like anyone in Samaria, and Samaria didn't like them, ever. But we have this story where Jesus and his followers are right smack dab in Samaria. And we're going to pick this up in John chapter 4, verses 5 to 10. John chapter 4, verses 5 to 10. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, a pretty significant well. It's named, it's Jacob's well. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Now when a Samaritan woman, catch that there, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews did not associate with Samaritans. There's a long backstory in that we're not going to get into. Again, they were just enemies. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water. Notice something very important in the story. Jesus is meeting this woman at noon by a well. Normally, so this is a bit weird, because normally when people went out to draw water from a well, they did so either in the morning or in the evening for two reasons. Simply because of the weather. They knew every day that around noon, it was the hottest time of day, and it was uncomfortably hot. So you didn't want to be out there drawing water. It's a big process. And so it was just uncomfortable. You never wanted to do that. But secondly, because everybody else drew their water in the morning or the evening, you also had a chance to gather with people. And you got to catch up on news, probably a little bit of gossip from the day. But generally, you get to catch up. And so how are you doing? How's your family? Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, and there's this communal kind of like get-together. And so for this woman to be out at noon, it's not only extremely hot, but she's all by herself, which means that she's probably marginalized in the community. She either isn't welcome, or she feels she's not welcome, but either way, she's by herself. And so Jesus comes up and speaks to her, and he offers her living water. The living water here is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. It's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's offering her the Holy Spirit. It's this idea of running water. Instead of this stagnant water, it's this flowing water, and it's alive, it's fresh. In essence, Jesus is asking her if she wants God's presence to be with her. But you wonder, and I wonder if the woman's thinking this a bit, does he really know me? This stranger who I know is a Jew has come to me and he's offering me this, but does he really know me? Does he know my painful parts of my story? And does he really know me? Because if he maybe really knows me, he wouldn't be even associating with me, never mind offering me living water. But listen to how well Jesus actually knows her. Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Listen to this. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Ugh. Can you imagine this initial reaction? It's like, who told him? How does he know? He's not even a part of our community. He wouldn't hear the gossip. How does this man know who I am? A lot of scholars look at this idea of having multiple husbands as a sin issue. You know, in other words, like she's been the one to cause all of this. But actually, nowhere in this text does it say that she's at fault for this. And so let's remember this. Maybe she is. But maybe husbands have either left her. Maybe they've passed away. We don't know her circumstances. We only know the facts. And as Jesus says to her, you've had five husbands, and the sixth one you're on now that you have isn't your husband. These words would have pierced her in the heart. And yet Jesus, knowing her past, is still offering her a fresh life, a new start. Notice how incredibly loving he is. Verse 27. Well, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. It just didn't happen very much at all. And so they're shocked. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Verse 28. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Did you notice that one little phrase there? Then, in verse 28, leaving her water jar, she went back to the village. She left the only reason why she came to the well. She didn't care about that as much anymore. She left the reason why she got there in the first place there because there was something else on her heart that she had to share. And it was this new affinity for this person that she's talking to. Her heart has been opened. Could this be the Messiah? And notice what she does. She goes back to her town, back to her people, and she begins to share about this man that she met. These people that she might or probably has at least a familiarity, maybe a love for, but these people that she knows, she wants to connect these people with someone else that she's just met and an affinity for. Notice how natural this is. She's sharing with people the love of Jesus, that he knew her past, and he points her to God. Verse 30, this is the response. Listen to this. Don't know what took place, what the conversations actually look like, but this is verse 30. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. I love this. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Isn't that crazy? It is so cool. And just notice how natural this was. This woman finds out from this stranger that he knows her past. Like he knows her. and loves her and points her to God. She then goes home to her village, shares about this experience. They come and see her, see him, and it says many, many, many believed in Jesus. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're checking out faith. You're checking out if God is real and if he's someone that we can trust. We can know that the God of the universe knows us. He knows us. For any of us and all of us. Isn't that a scary but beautiful thought? Because I think to myself, I'm like, does God know where my heart has been this week? Maybe for some of us, it's like, does God know what my eyes have seen? What words have come out of my mouth? Does he know me? Yes. He knows all of our insecurities. He knows all of our shortcomings. He knows all of our fears. And he loves us unconditionally. And if this is true, we have this opportunity and this privilege of sharing this faith in this God that we love with maybe a family member that we love, with maybe a neighbor that we've been getting to know, with maybe someone else who we see is struggling and we want to point them to the God that we love. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we have this opportunity to be judgmental over those who don't know. It means in our brokenness, we get to lead other broken people to the beautiful love of Jesus. I'll be honest, some of my most exciting days, like when I come home and I can't wait to tell Michelle about my day, is when I have the privilege of sharing my faith with someone else. And I fail at it miserably a lot of times, I'll be honest. I'm not clear. I'm not inspiring enough. Sometimes I'm just like, but I just want to share. Because being a pastor, it's not just a job that I do. I believe in God with my whole heart. For all the shortcomings that I have, I believe that God loves me unconditionally. I know that some of you are here this morning, and I see you, that I've had the privilege of sharing my faith with. And it's awesome. I love that you're here. Evangelism is really the sharing of two things or two people that we can introduce to one another. Sometimes we might think to ourselves, I don't want to share because I just don't think people are interested. In our culture today, people are leaving the church way more than coming. So it feels like God has left the building. You know, like our culture is just not there anymore. But statistics, at least in the UK, and if they equate to Canada, there's not solid stats in Canada quite yet, but there was a survey done in 2022 and 2023 in the UK that actually point us to another fact. Is that people are actually interested more than we think they are. According to this survey called Fusion Survey, done in the UK with 1,200 college students, so again, small sample size demographic, but it just understand this. 74% of students who are not Christians said that they would go to church if a friend invited them. 3 out of every 4 would say, yeah, I'll go. I just don't know where, and no one's ever asked me to go. Isn't that actually really encouraging? Also, and you may not think this is encouraging, but I wanted to share the stat. 47% of non-Christians would like to hear the story of Jesus. 47%. Now we can flip that and say, that means 50, math is right, 53% don't want to hear it. Yeah, that's true. But 1 out of every 2 people want to hear the story of Jesus. Our culture is not as post-Christian as we may think. And in fact, a number of pastors believe in the UK. I met with some in the springtime, and just hearing their heart, they said, we're actually so post-Christian, we're actually pre-Christian again. We want to hear more about Jesus because life isn't working necessarily as it is right now. And so we have the opportunity in our lives, in our context, to share the love of Jesus with someone that we love, with someone that we want to get to know more. And all we're doing is we're just pointing them to Jesus. We can do that in a number of ways. We can share in the office over, you know, coffee. We can invite someone into our home and it just naturally maybe comes up. But we can also be intentional about it. And our church really wants to be intentional about this through this program that we have called Alpha. And Alpha in and of itself isn't this like machine or this like thing that it just does something to somebody. It's not at all. Alpha is a platform where we invite people to come and hear about Christianity. And so we're going to be running this for 8 Tuesdays, starting September 24th. So that's in 9 days. Last September, we ran it here for the fall, and we just had such a great time with about 60 people here. And it was great because we come, we have a great meal. So if anything, you don't have to cook supper that night. There's childcare. We have childcare available if you have kids and you know someone else wants to come and they have kids, you can bring them. But we have a meal together, and then we watch a video that's about 20 minutes. It's engaging, it's good, it's not cheesy. And then we get to just talk about the video. And the videos center on topics like, who is Jesus? Why did Jesus have to die? Why do we pray? Why church? And so on and so forth. I have yet to hear somebody come through that course and they just go, this is dumb. You know, it's like, wasted my time. I've been sitting with people from all different walks of life over the years doing Alpha, and people just come out and go, thank you for that. Thank you, because it was such a practical way to engage in aspects of the Christian faith that I never thought were possible. And so maybe that's you this morning, first of all. Can I encourage, challenge, and invite you to come on Tuesday nights starting next Tuesday? That you have a place where you can check out aspects of Christianity? Maybe you're here and you've been a Christian follower of Jesus for some time, but you want to be reminded or you want to learn a little bit more. You will learn something, guarantee it, through these 8 videos. Or maybe right now you can be starting to think of someone either who lives close to you, who you work with, but who could benefit from having a conversation about faith things in a kind of a very honest and practical way. Victor, I want to invite you up because I just want to just have someone who's been through it just to share a little bit before we close today. So Victor is a part of our church. Victor just had a baby just recently. Well, sorry, Juliana just had the baby, not Victor. But grab that one there, Victor. And their little boy Benji is back there, and he's beautiful, and it's awesome. But we're not here to talk about Benji, although we could talk about him all day. We want to talk a little bit about Alpha. And I know that Alpha had an impact on you going through it. So would you just share with everybody just a little bit about why you actually went? Because you were invited by your wife, I think, to come. Why did you come in the first place?
Well, I was interested in Alpha because I didn't grow up a Christian. And for me, it was kind of coming to church and getting to know about Jesus and all the preachings here. And I felt incomplete. I felt like I didn't have enough knowledge to be here. So that was what triggered my interest in Alpha. And it all happened, like I actually got to know Alpha through Pastor Ben in a coffee conversation. And he mentioned that. And I was like, yeah, we have this. And this is very interesting because of this and that. And you get some good time to talk with people. And yeah, like a series of videos. And you learn more about Jesus. And like get the formal introduction that you feel like you lack. I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I mentioned to Julianne, and we went to Alpha and Walnut Grove before Yorks and Alpha.
That's awesome. Was the food good?
Amazing. That was the first time I tried chili. Wow, the chili that we got in Alpha, it's the best.
You don't have chili in Brazil, I guess.
We don't.
Well, maybe bring it back and you can like, you know. Hey,
that's something, good suggestion.
Yeah. Were the videos cheesy?
Not at all.
Okay. I just want to clear that up, you know, in case someone's wondering. And also, I know for sure, too, that because you've told me this, is that you didn't go because you were pressured by Juliana or something like that, right? But Juliana was a follower of Jesus and is, but she wanted to introduce you to it, and it sounded very natural as well. And especially Ben. Ben's another pastor at our church, and it was just kind of a natural way to go. Tell me about the impact that it made for you through that program?
I think it changed my life. Like I mentioned, I felt incomplete before becoming a Christian. And through Alpha, on the Alpha weekend, I accepted Jesus and I became a Christian. And that actually changed my life. I cannot express it in another way.
And what is the last question? What difference has Jesus made in your life today?
Well, on a personal note, like something, I feel like now I have someone that I can rely on anytime, any second of the day. And especially now, most people here know I lost my dad this year, and I've been praying a lot. Every time I'm missing, I just say, like, God, please, you know, like, I'll have this conversation with you. I usually had this conversation with my dad, but now it's with you, and I pray for anything. During Benji's gestation, was really hard for me. I felt fear all the time, and I felt like challenged by the enemy all the time. And having the presence of God in our home and my heart really helped me. So it's really, really life-changing when you actually become a Christian.
It's so good. You know, I mentioned near the beginning of the service about the rain coming and the wind blowing and our house stands. Yeah, that sounds like it's been really hard for you in that season, and it still is. Grief is part of us, right, from for the rest of our lives. But I love that your faith is so real and vital. Victor got baptized last year as well, and I know. Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. And I know Victor. You know, Victor's not only humble, but he's honest, and he would say he's not like a super amazing human being that is like perfect in any way, right?
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Just thanks for putting you back in that place. No, not at all. But, you know, we love Victor, and I just love your honesty in this, and that your faith, you know, like, you follow Jesus honestly and vulnerably and authentically, and I just appreciate that so much. And I love how much, yeah, just the impact that Alpha had as a way for you to learn more about faith, and it's changed your life too, so as you said. So, yeah, can we give him a hand and say thank you so much, Victor, for sharing? I want to just invite us to pray for a moment here, and I'm sure there's maybe a lot of things on our hearts this morning, but I want to pray that God would just encourage us and to not only continue to get to know this God that loves us, but that we can also point other people to him as well. Let's pray. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you, in very tangible ways, show us and or remind us that our Heavenly Father's love is perfect, that it's relentless, that it is unconditional, and it is pursuing. And as we respond to this, would you awaken our hearts to this? Maybe for some here, maybe just bring back the emotion and the taste of what that looks like in our lives. And would you put people on our mind and in our heart that we can introduce to you as well? And so we don't want to leave here today with the heaviness that we've come into. And so would you meet with us in a very, very practical way today? Thank you. Amen. We stand, and we're going to sing. I want to invite anyone who wants to pray for anything in life today. Maybe it just fall's been hard, or it's been crazy, or you've come with a heaviness, and you just want to pray for someone or for yourself. We have people at the back who would love to pray with you. Sometimes taking that first step out just to go, I'm going to pray, because I know we all have needs, but I just want to just do this. We'll meet you, and we'll bring things to God together. But in the meantime, let's sing.